Pod. Sports Pod. Sports Pod. Sports Pod. Sports Pod.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Sports Pod.
I don't believe what I just saw.
Sports Pod.
Damn, Jack saw the ball.
Sports Pod.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Play ball! This is the Sports Pod for Monday, November 1st. Sports talk when you need it through podcast technology. I'm Curtis, talking to you at 10:30 a.m. San Francisco time, and I want to hear from you. Text and voice email, go to Curtis at thesportspod.com. Voicemail can also be called in at 603-649-7771. Leave a voicemail, and I'll play it on the podcast. Well, it's a beautiful Monday morning here in San Francisco. Gotta love California weather. A lot better than the Boston weather I was looking at yesterday. A little chilly looking in Chowda Nation for the parade. Okay, celebrations in sports. Every sport has their limits on celebration. And, you know, you know what's allowed and what's not. You know, what's considered taunting, what's considered showing the other team up, what's in the rule book, what's code but not necessarily in the rule book. Let's look at football. And this is why I'm thinking about this. I was watching the Philly game yesterday, the Eagles versus the Ravens. You know who I'm going to talk about. Terrell Owens. He's had some pretty good celebrations. And the guy is an entertainer. He's definitely an entertainer. And you gotta laugh. You gotta laugh watching them. But, you know, what's the agenda here? What's the agenda? I gotta think that that cannot have the best effect on his team or his teammates. How does it affect ratings, TV ratings? How does it affect the fan perception of football? What's the influence on children? There are a lot of ways to think about how celebrations should be limited. Let's take the bottom line, okay? Football is run by the commissioner, who is put in place by the owners and perhaps the players' union. Their agendas are to make money for the players, to make money for the coaches, and to make money for the owners. Okay, those are the stakeholders. Now, let's look at the owners. Owners have the biggest influence on the rule book in football. So let's look at the owners. And the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, has T.O. on his team, okay? And all the NFL owners, the commissioner, they see T.O. in his celebrations. Bottom line, it's going to affect TV ratings positively. People like to see that stuff. It gets on the highlights. ESPN, SportsCenter runs it, okay? So at a point, it becomes disruptive to the flow. It becomes disruptive, and it becomes less credible. And I think the celebrations like that do take some credibility from the sport, because the sport, in its pure sense, is supposed to be about teamwork. And when you got a guy like T.O. scoring a touchdown and doing his dance, you know, yesterday he did the Ray Lewis imitation. It was pretty funny. But every time you see T.O. score a touchdown, you know, his teammates try to run up and, you know, they start to give him a high five and shit like that and tackle him and what football players like to do when you score and celebrate. But with T.O., they got to back off. It really does take away from the pure sense of teamwork, the pure sense of team involved in team sports like football. I suppose it's a fine line, right? You know, they're allowing celebrations after touchdowns. They started to lay down the law a little bit. Here's a new ruling with football celebrations. And this is from an article by Tom Silverstein of JournalSentinel.com. You can go to jsonline.com to find this. Unsatisfied because fines were not discouraged in group touchdown celebrations, the National League Football League will now tack on a 15-yard penalty to all those who feel it necessary to dance with their teammates. The lone dissenter was the Oakland Raiders. Good old Al Davis. 61 players were fined between $2,500 and $5,000 for violations of the group celebration rule. Okay, spurred to action by letters it received from the National Federation of State High School Associations and the NCAA, the NFL decided to crack down on the outburst. They asked the NFL to take a stronger action to curtail the celebration because of the trickle-down effect they were having. And they still do have a rule in effect that came in after Joe Horn pulled out the cell phone of the goalpost pad. Any player who possesses a hard foreign object will be automatically ejected. The idea there was that it was having a trickle-down effect into the NCAA and into high schools. Now, why should the NFL care about that? Well, they care about that because of their reputation. They want to retain that credibility. The celebrations spike ratings in some sense, and they get people to watch. They really cheapen the sport and the sportsmanship. And then the credibility wanes, and then you start to lose viewers, and then you start to lose fans. So short term, it's okay, but long term, it's not. So you gotta enforce these rules. You know, what if T.O. had played in the 50s or the 60s? I mean, what would they have done? They kicked him out of the game? Who knows? Okay, so hoops is starting up this week. I'm really excited about that. Basketball is my favorite sport. I love basketball. You know, Shaq had a little interview last night on ESPN. Okay, so the NBA season is kicking off this week, and the Lakers are playing on Tuesday against, let's see, who's the best? They're playing against the Nuggets. Melo. Melo's having his Melo issues. And I'm excited about the preseason. I'm excited about basketball. I love basketball. So the streak is over. 21 straight for the Pats. That's pretty fucking impressive. 21 straight. Pittsburgh's good. Pittsburgh's a good team. Okay, sad news. As you all know, Ken Caminiti died 2 weeks ago now. 41 years old. Very sad. Very sad. It's a guy who could not control his demons. He's just vulnerable. Very sad. Great baseball player. Although, won the MVP, but he's admitted as much that he was taking steroids when he won it. And it just shows you, even in those days, I'm sure all through his adult life, he was not so concerned about what he put in his body. He was taking steroids, you know, after the Lyle Alzado death and all the publicity, all the negative publicity of steroids. And it's just very sad, you know. He's a depressed guy, and he battled depression, he battled drug and alcohol addiction, and, you know, I mean, it just goes to show you, people are who they are. They're not what they do. You know, you would think a guy like Ken Caminiti would have had a lot of money. He would have, you know, had he not blown it on drugs and alcohol. You know, I don't know for a fact that he blew all his money on that, but he just could not control his impulses. He was addicted, physiologically or emotionally. He was addicted. And, you know, it doesn't matter that he was a great baseball player, that he had a lot of fans, that he was loved by his teammates or his former teammates, and then he had a family, and it doesn't matter. Addictions kill. Addictions also build life. You think of the type of personality that gets addicted, and it's also the kind of personality that becomes prolific at a certain trade or activity, occupation, sport. It'd be interesting to find out whether addiction, it runs higher in high achievers than it does in low achievers. And achievement being measured on financial, for argument's sake, to give it a parameter. I suppose it's, you know, in thinking about it, I suppose it's not I suppose it wouldn't be a requirement. I think it's that the folks who tend to have a more addictive personality will be able to channel their addictions in a few, or channel their addictive personalities in a couple of different ways, such as, you know, playing sports, building business, doing drugs, surfing internet porn, running, exercising, reading, okay? Some of these addictions will be considered healthy, and some are obviously not healthy. And perhaps the less addictive personalities have a harder time being successful in business or being successful by that monetary parameter. So very sad. Cocaine and opiates found in his body. Shame. Very sad. Okay, we had a comment from Scott on the Sports Pod comment section. It's on the 29th on Friday. Quote, I must say, your enthusiasm is over the top. Great show. You really go to great lengths to entertain. I'm sure, just like Johnny Mac. everything gets better with age. I look forward to hearing your upcoming rants. There you have it. You heard from me. Well, thank you, Scott. I actually know Scott. And Scott and I have had some conversations about the Johnny Mac show and how painful it is to watch. And I'd be willing to bet that listening to this show is much less painful than watching that piece of crap. Johnny Mac on the couch, now he's behind a desk. He is so ill-equipped. At least for me, I can cut out the stupid parts. But on that show, I don't know. I mean, he draws the guests. He's got a lot of guests. Good guests. He's got connections. They all love him from his, you know, heyday when he was on top of the world. And, you know, Johnny Mac is a great tennis player. Fuck yeah. Dude, serve and volley, baby. Finesse. God, what touch he had. He doesn't have that touch behind the desk. I mean, the guy, I remember he was interviewing, this is in the early days. I have not seen his show in quite some time, but I think I watched a couple shows the first couple weeks, and he was interviewing this band or something. Yeah, these guys are like, how are the kids? Because the band had kids, right? And one of the guys in the band is like, he's like, they love your show. He's like, they love your show. He's like, whenever I need to put them to sleep, I just put on your show for them. And Johnny Mac is like a deer in the headlights. And that fucking dweeb had to save him and just start changing the subject and talking about, you know, touring. That show is painful to watch. You cannot be serious. You're an abortion. He had some moments, man. God, how horrible is that when he's promoting that book? I heard like 50 interviews with him, and every fucking time he had to fit in like 3 "you cannot be serious" references. It's like, dude, get off of it. I'm sure he's got enough money. Come on, Johnny Mac. And I just saw a thing on Tatum O'Neal, since we're on the Johnny Mac thing, and wow, she's had a tough life. She's had a tough, God, man. Growing up, sounds like Ryan O'Neal, her pop, was just like having chicks over every night, and Tatum was like back and forth between her dad, and I forgot her mom was an actress, and her mom was a little whacked out. So, speaking of addiction, yeah, she's had a very addictive adult life, and she appears to be clean now, and hopefully she'll stay that way. But again, you think people have it. You think people have it all. And they don't, man. It all comes crashing down so easily. So easily. And I'll tell you, it's much more painful if you've got visibility, and if you've been on top, and then you come crashing down. It's got to be much more painful than, you know, you know, being down there to begin with. So, hey, if you're down there, life ain't so bad, man. Okay, so anyway, Scott, thanks for that note there, and I really do appreciate your contribution to the show. I'd love to hear some more tennis takes from guys like Scott. This guy Scott played college tennis. Okay, what else is on the agenda today? Okay, I'd like to talk a little bit more baseball. Let's talk about Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. Guilty. Both of these guys. Roids. Definitely on roids. The story came out with the Feds releasing a quote from the guys at Balco saying that Bonds definitely was given steroids. And then a statement came out from them independently saying, no, we didn't give him steroids. Come on. Bellator's fucking taking steroids. Dude, it's a no-brainer. Look at that fucking mug. Look at his grill. Dude, his grill. Someone's looking at me. I'm walking around like a wacko in my apartment complex and looking out the window. I'm screaming out here. People are looking at me, man. Come on, let me do a show. I'm doing a show. I'm doing a podcast. Come on. Get on board. Get on the bandwagon. Anyway. Look at that grill, all right? Look at his freaking mug. All right, he started out looking like Sean Green. And now he looks like Fat Shaq when Shaq's fat. Shaq would look skinny last night, man. God, Shaq lost a lot of weight.
I did because the man told me to. I lost the weight because the man told me to.
The man being Pat Riley, I suppose. Give me a fucking break, Shaq. Anyway, back to Bonds. Bonds is like the worst guy. I hate fucking Bonds. The guy is obviously on the roids. It's so fucking clear, man. Who peaks when they're 40? Nobody. Who peaks when they're fucking 36 to 40? You know, who gains that much power that late? It's never happened. It's never happened. You know, come on. It's all right there. Sure, Bonds is a skilled hitter. And I love that fucking argument.
Oh, steroids ain't going to help you hit the ball. You still got to hit the ball.
Yeah, you do have to hit the ball. But, dude, velocity and intensity with which you hit the ball matters. Here's a clue, bro. Buy it. The harder you hit the ball, the further it goes. The harder you hit the ball, the faster it gets out of the infield, the harder it is for the fielders to make a play. Dude, I mean, come on. I hate that argument. It's so stupid. And Sosa's got to be the worst guy. All right, Bonds is the worst guy. Sosa's the second worst guy. I love the fact that he got caught in that lie again, man. The guy is such a liar.
Oh, yeah, it was just, my cork bat was for the fans. Yeah, I did it for the fans. So I didn't do it to boost my home run numbers. I did it for the fans. To give the fans a thrill.
Dude, give me a fucking break. And now he's pissed because he was dropped down to number 6 in the lineup because he was having a shitty year.
He's like, oh, I've hit 600 home runs. I should never have to bat 6. I should be 3rd or 4th, always.
First of all, most of those home runs you hit were fucking because of roids. You know, you and McGuire all of a sudden, you know, started hitting all these home runs, both roided up. And second of all, dude, we're not going to, why, you don't get a spot like that. That's bullshit, man. That's bullshit. You know, you probably hit most of those home runs with a cork bat anyways. Do you think that was the first time? No, that wasn't the first time. You used a cork bat. Okay, still in baseball, let's hear this clip. Bill Buckner being interviewed by Dan Patrick. ESPN Radio.
Keep up with what's going on, but not the way I used to.
But can you derive any satisfaction out of this, or put your mind at ease? I guess I'm just trying to figure out what you, Bill Buckner, can get out of something that happened 18 years after the 1986 World Series.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know. I must be missing something because, you know, I've gotten a lot of calls and everybody says, are you excited? Are you happy? Whatever. And you know, quite honestly, it just, you know, other than the fact, and I don't want to take anything away from the Red Sox, you know, I'm excited for them and the city of Boston. But for me personally, you know, I mean, with all the stuff coming up again, you know, I just had a bad taste in my mouth again. So, I mean, out of all this, you know, I don't see how it really relates to our team in 86. We still didn't win. And, you know, I don't know if it's kind of like, you know, it's people ask me, you know, I mean, you know, they say, you know, that we forgive you or that. I mean, I forgive me for what? Commit a crime that, or is there like a guy goes in prison for 20 years and then gets cleared on DNA? I mean, I just don't know how to react. I know that I personally, I don't have a good feeling. I just don't want to take anything away from that.
Billy, I may be overly melodramatic here, but I thought about this. I brought this up with at least one Red Sox official. Would you entertain the idea of coming back if it's a first pitch or anything to do with a celebration with the Red Sox?
You know, I would have a real hard time doing that. I would appreciate, certainly appreciate the offer, but I would have a hard time doing that.
Even throwing out the first pitch?
Yeah, I just, you know, I kind of disassociated myself with Boston. You know, I just kind of area that I stay away from. You know, I like going back to Chicago, L.A.,
that is tough. Billy Buckner on the Dan Patrick Show, ESPN Radio. And, jeez, poor guy. Man, that's the price of fame. There's another price of fame. I mean, the guy, you know, that play is on his mind every single day. I mean, I think I'm a little bit obsessive in my competition and my competitiveness. And, you know, I played a lot of sports growing up. A little bit after high school. I still think about these fucking plays. I was a good athlete. I still think about these plays where I fucked up. I made the last out. Just one play. I tried to steal third. I was a madman on the base pass. I tried to steal third and got thrown out. Final out of the game when we were trying to tie it up. Stupid base running error. You know, I was a smart player. I mean, I was definitely a smart player, but I was a risk taker. That was a bad risk to take. And it's something that I think about. I mean, my mind just goes there. And this was like, I was like, what? I was 15? My mind goes there all the time. You know, it's not every day. It may not even be every week. But over the course of a year, it's got to be a couple times a month. And it's strange. It's really strange. I mean, I was a good athlete. I've got all these fucking great memories to choose from. But it's when you screw up or you really, really hit the core of your emotion. It's really tough. And for a guy to do that on the stage and with everything at stake, and you could hear the pain in his voice and the bitterness, and he doesn't like Boston. He disassociates himself with Boston. Poor guy, man. You know, he's not saying that he took any pleasure in the Boston winning. Obviously, he's torn. He's got to be torn. Because at some level, you know, a little bit of the pressure is off of him. But on another level, it's like, fuck you, man. You put me through that all these fucking years, all you shouts, and now you want to forgive me? Fuck you. And now he's getting all this attention. The poor guy, man. The poor guy. But, yeah, I don't know. You just got a feel for that. Got a feel for that. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today. Have a great rest of the day. This has been Curtis on the Sports Pod. I want to hear from you. You can call the new voicemail line at 603-649-7771. That's 603-649-7771. You can email me, curtis@thesportspod.com. You can also place comments on the message board, which I will refer to throughout these shows. And that's at thesportspod.com. Have a great evening. Enjoy Monday Night Football. And I will talk to you soon. Ready?
Sports Pod. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Sports Pod.